Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Sometimes our best conversations are off the air. I was just talking to Eric Mangini. He worked under Bill Parcells and Belichick and quirky Jim Harbaugh.
He's got thick skin.
These stories are... That's what we should do and just charge advertisers a fortune. You can just... There's a secret feed where during the break, you can listen to us talk. And I would just charge everybody for it.
We could just save some of it for on air, too.
Yeah. When I want to talk, I want to talk.
I like that. That's innovative, though. There's something there.
There's something there, yeah. Isn't there? See if we can get management to help us out. Eric Mangini won 3 Super Bowls in New England, Browns, Jets. He joins me now live. Here, I'll throw this one to you. Here's one. You live in Cleveland.
So I do.
So, I mean, just that fact alone, you wake up every morning with stuff to overcome. Okay. Here's a story. Odell Beckham to Tommy in Tampa. Initial reaction, what is it?
I love it. I love it. And look, Tampa Bay is a totally different situation than everywhere else. And Tom Brady is a totally different situation than everybody else has. And guys that may struggle in other organizations or may not reach their peak in other organizations, with Tom, it's not going to be like that. You know, if you're going there, you got a chance to win the Super Bowl. And you know you're working with the greatest quarterback of all time. And you know if you do the right thing, he's going to get you the ball. So the level of motivation with every player is as high as it's going to be.
Yeah.
And I think to have another explosive playmaker like Odell, I mean, dealing with Odell and Antonio Brown and the list that goes on, that's rough. That's rough.
You're a defensive guy. I'm not sure. You just got – I mean, seriously, it's like Kansas City on steroids. It's like the Chiefs on steroids. There's just so many – you can't double anybody. You can't roll coverage over on anybody.
No, and everybody's probably going to be open. Like, take your pick, because those guys are raw. They're just hard to deal with. They're hard to deal with.
So, Greg Bedard's a legitimate reporter. He's been in, you know, the Boston area forever. When he says something, I usually believe him. He reported this morning, Jimmy Garoppolo is far and away the Patriots' plan A, which is funny because he's on another team. What do you make of that?
I don't know how it's plan A. First of all, I don't know how anybody knows what the Patriots' plans are, because the only people that really know are Bill and maybe Ernie Adams at this point. So to say one guy is plan A, he's plan A because everybody knows that he used to play for the Patriots and he could be, you know, on the street. So that makes him plan A. But you can't go into an off season talking about another team's player as plan A unless you've got some kind of deal in place. So it makes no sense. It makes no sense to categorize it that way.
All right. So Jalen Hurts, so here's my theory. If you're going to draft a quarterback in the second round and it eventually gets your coach fired and your star quarterback traded, if you draft another quarterback, Philadelphia at number 6, so you're telling me your number 2 pick last year, you overdrafted. Because if you draft a guy, these days quarterbacks are ready to play much sooner than they were 10 years ago. So if you draft Jalen Hurts in the second round and he gets your coach fired and your star quarterback traded, and then you're going to draft another quarterback, it kind of tells me optics. If I'm a fan, I'm like, my team doesn't know what they're doing. I mean, don't you have to get him weapons? They're not a Super Bowl team right now. Don't you have to just get him weapons, roll him out for 16 games and see what you got?
Well, I read the report today that said that they want to go all in on him. They want to help him be successful. I just don't know how you can do that at this point. You look at how he played, and there were some good things, but there's a lot more good things that Carson Wentz had done over the course of his career there, and they moved on from him. The report coming out this strong at this point in the year, to me, feels like maybe they do want a quarterback, but they want everybody to think they don't want a quarterback. Maybe this is one of those things where they tell everybody, "Yeah, we're great where we are. We're not interested in any quarterbacks," so that when they're sitting there at 6, people aren't going to jump over them and try to get their guy. It's hard to imagine saying we're going all in on a guy that they have such little exposure to. And the new head coach doesn't know it all.
Yeah. The you know, we were saying this morning with Sam Darnold, he appears to have a market. Washington, we're in March. They don't have a quarterback. And they don't have a good draft pick to get one. Chicago has Nick Foles, but Matt Nagy wants to move the pocket around. They liked, actually, Trubisky's ability to be an athlete. They just didn't love him as a his throwing skills. And then, you know, New England's got their situation. And I look at Sam Darnold and I think San Francisco reportedly. John Lynch liked him when he came out. Is there a best fit for him?
Yeah, I like him where he is. I like if you feel like you're going to get legitimate draft value for the guy, and that he's worth a two, or he's worth whatever your market is, and you're not just trying to move him, why wouldn't you keep him? You've changed the head coach, so you're going to get a different environment. You've got a ton of draft capital. What do they have? 2 ones, 2 threes, 2 fives. You've got a ton of cash. You're in a division that has all young quarterbacks. It's not like Buffalo has that division locked down. Why wouldn't you see whether or not this can work? Take that second pick in the draft, trade back, get even more capital, and build a young, talented team that can compete for the long term in a division that really is wide open.
Yeah. I'm going to throw this theory at you.
Okay.
Seattle lets go of Carlos Dunlap, clears up almost $15 million of cap space. They send out a letter to their season ticket holders about the upcoming season. They put all their star players in it, except Russell Wilson. Okay.
Okay.
They're clearing cap space because if they move Russell, they have so much dead money, they're still viable. They're not going to sign Chris Carson, the running back. Carlos Dunlap's gone. It's my crazy theory. They won't put him in a newsletter to fans. Pete Carroll moved Richard Sherman and Earl Thomas the minute they went public. That's not Pete's thing. You go public, you're gone. Is that Seattle is getting ready to move him and clear as much cap space as they can so they're not getting crushed this year with a cap. Think I'm nuts?
I think you're nuts. They were middle of the pack in cap space. They had like $11 million in cap space the last time I looked. So cutting him or they're not going to cut him, but trading him is going to cost $39 million in dead money. So that's the highest. That would be the highest dead cap charge in the history of the NFL, on top of Carson Wentz's 31 that they just, you know, that they just saw. So you're going to have to move a lot of players around in order to move on from Russell Wilson. It doesn't make financial sense, especially in this environment where you don't really know exactly what the cap is. It's going to be a down year from a cap perspective. And is it what he's doing that bad? It's a starting quarterback that can bring you to the Super Bowl. At some point, you just got to get over it. Like, if he's a little bit unhappy, okay. You know what's going to make you really unhappy? Losing a ton of games with a quarterback that can't play. That'll make you really unhappy.
Okay, so I'm not a quarterback guru, although...
Are you aren't? you play one on TV?
Smart Alec. Okay, so I'm hearing a lot of this now. I think there's a difference between a prodigy and a prospect. And Andrew Luck was the first quarterback I ever said on the air. Can't miss. That's going to be great. And by the way, he won 11 games with an awful roster. The second quarterback I'm going to say that about is Trevor Lawrence. Listen, as long as their offensive line is not the Jets, he's going to win a bunch of games. Now I'm hearing, oh my God, this Zach Wilson guy. Oh, he may be better than Trevor Lawrence. And my takeaway is, when we anoint somebody great as a freshman, all we do for the next 3 years is nitpick him and look for the new flashy guy. If you look at Trevor Lawrence, doesn't he look different than everybody else in the quarterback field?
What I love about Trevor Lawrence is his TD to interception ratio. And you and I have talked about this a lot. It says that this player makes good decisions, and he consistently makes good decisions. And the numbers have been good every year that he's played. And that's been one of my concerns with Sam Darnold is it shows at a pattern of decision making that's solid, and that's hard to teach. As much as you try to teach that, it's not a skill that is easy by any stretch, and comes with a lot of experience. And now you push a guy like that in the NFL, where he's going to be exposed to volumes and volumes of coverages and variations, and you like his chances to continue to make good decisions. That's one of the things that I love about the guy.
By the way, you were a defensive guy and a special teams guy and a secondary guy. If you had to draft a quarterback, who would you lean on? Or would you say, hey, listen, I face him. I'm a defensive guy. Like with quarterbacks, when you're running a team like you were Belichick when you were with him or Parcells, and you make these big decisions, do you lean on people for certain positions? Like if you're not a quarterback guy, you coach defense, who would you lean on?
Well, you try to – you're going to talk to the offensive staff. You're going to talk to the offensive coordinator. And then you look at your scouting staff. And every year, good organizations should go through and look at their scouts and see what their hit rate is. And typically, you have guys on in your scouting staff that are better at some positions than others. So, you know, one guy may be really good at O-line and is terrible at defensive tackles or defensive line. So you disregard, or you don't disregard, but you kind of put his D-line reports to the side, and you put more merit in the place where he has strength. Look, there's tons of studies, there's tons of psych evaluations. There's so much information that you try to get certainty from, but then you have Tom Brady. You know, then you have Aaron Rodgers going where he goes, or take your pick, Russell Wilson. As much certainty as you try to get, you just don't know. There's still an element of sheer luck to this, which seems ridiculous, right? It seems ridiculous for the amount of time, money, effort, and experience that goes into evaluating these guys. But they're kids. They're kids.
Yeah. I saw Dak Prescott. I remember seeing Dak Prescott, and I said he's a way better version of Tim Tebow. Like, he feels like an NFL athlete. He throws better than Tebow, but I'm like, I wonder if I could use him at tight end. I really like Dak Prescott. I watched him at Mississippi State. And then I look back at it after he had success, and I'm like, well, God, he was under duress. They had bad offensive lines. He was getting crushed at Mississippi State. And then I go look back in hindsight, and I'm like, yeah, I should have seen. He was basically carrying an entire program on his back, which is essentially a real strength of character and judgment. And what has he done in the NFL? He's got this intangibles, character, and judgment. And I just saw him as, he didn't throw a very pretty ball, but what I should have seen is, God, he was right, getting crushed. He was getting crushed. He had no offensive line help, and he was carrying a program, getting dinged and hit. So I just saw the wrong stuff, right?
Well, it's the same when watching Russell Wilson. I remember writing down, I don't know where this guy is going to fit on the team, but I want him on my team. And because his size was a real concern, it was hard to project him being a starting quarterback, but he did so many things really well and popped in so many different ways. And you heard about what a good person he was and the intangibles. And you're thinking, how do I get this guy on my team, even if it's not going to work out at quarterback?
Yeah. Eric Mangini, beautiful Ohio. It's a great day in Ohio.
It is sunny today. It feels like fall here, which is an upgrade from winter. It's a nice fall day today here, Colin.
In March, great.
Yeah, in March.
Eric, good talking to you.
We'll see you later.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, the supplement, take one every day, mdriveformen.com. Yep, free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, powerful ingredients backed by science. mdriveformen.com today. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, Steph Curry walked away with his second three-point contest win last night in Atlanta.
That was only his second?
Second, yes. He had a slow start in the final round, but he got hot and hit the final Moneyball shot to win it over Mike Connolly, 28-27. It was actually a very, very dramatic finish for what kind of started off as a little bit of a slow three-point contest. But once Steph got going, you know, he's the best three-point.
How about Mike Connolly finishing second?
I love this for Mike Connolly. The whole weekend, it was great. He's very
He was a late add-in.
And it's his 14th year, first-time All-Star. So, yeah, there was a lot of great storylines last night. Also, in the skills challenge, Pacers big man Domantas Sabonis got the win. He beat out other fellow big Nikola Vucevic in the final round, became the fourth big man in the last six seasons to win the competition. And they were talking about it a little bit on the broadcast. But the bigs are so skilled now. Like, we talked about it earlier with Rick Bucher. The game has completely changed. You got to be able to hit threes. So many great passing big men now. And so this is not a terrible surprise. But four out of the last six seasons, bigs winning the skills competition. I like these probably more than most people.
Oh, I like them. I think they're fun.
I think they're fun. And, you know, they enjoy it. Like, it's fun to see the players take it seriously and then, like, get kind of disappointed but then are happy for each other when they lose. So I thought it was a nice night for the NBA last night.
Good for him. Gonzaga guy. Now, his dad was Arvidas.
Yes.
Who I covered in Portland, who came into the NBA at 30. So his prime years, 6-7 of his prime years, Arvidas was the best passing big I've ever seen, by far. The best passing big. Remarkable shooter. Lithuania star. Like, I think if I go back to those Portland years, people loved him in Portland. He was literally a better passer than Portland's backcourt. And I'm not joking on that. He was a brilliant... Portland's probably the two best passing big men of my life ever in basketball. Bill Walton and Arvidas Sabonis are two of the best passing bigs ever.
So Juju Smith-Schuster is set to become a free agent. He has been vocal about wanting to stay with Pittsburgh, but might not be able to get the money he wants. Steelers.com broke down the team's wide receivers. And due to the team's cap restrictions, they think that Juju is unlikely to accept what the team would be able to pay him with a new contract. He signed a four-year deal, $4.1 million, after being drafted in 2017.
He's a very good slot receiver. He's one of the better ones in the league, to be honest with you. I'm not sure. You know what? If I'd make room for him, because I like Claypool from Notre Dame.
Chase Claypool, yeah.
Yeah, if you gave me Juju Smith-Schuster and Chase Claypool, I could get rid of the other guys, but I wouldn't. I always feel like he's a great two, like a top 5-2 in the league.
But you also want people who want to be a part of your organization.
Does he not want to be
there?
No,
he does. He does. Yeah. Well, I think there's value in that also. Now, his current market value is projected at $81 million over 5 years, according to SpotTrack. And he commented, "Now let's talk," on an Instagram post in response to the news of Roethlisberger's new contract. So,
what's Spot Talk? What is that?
Spot Track.
What is that?
Like, tracks what
you should be paid.
Yeah, what you should be paid. Like, that's his market value.
Yeah, to me, if I'm in Pittsburgh, has a history of getting receivers. I want Claypool. I want Juju. Everybody else I can move.
He had 97 receptions, 831 yes. yards, and 9 touchdowns
yes.
last year.
He's a highly productive NFL player. He's a little, you know, on social, some people generationally think he's too much into social, but here's what I know on Sunday. He makes 7 catches. That's what I get from him.
And that's what matters.
And the by the way,
stuff,
look,
I mean, obviously it doesn't bother me. I think people are very out of touch with how much people enjoy that. Like,
right.
The story got a little out of control last year with them dancing on the logos, and people really went, it's really absurd, the reaction to it, actually. It was being disrespectful. Like, all right, calm down. I think that they should keep him, and they're going to try and figure out a way to
find,
make it work.
They're so deep on defense. You could, I think Bud, is him Dupree like a free agent? I think they could.
The problem is they have a lot of free agents, and the number one thing that they need is a running back.
Okay,
that needs to be their priority.
Well, I like Dupree, but they're so deep at linebacker, I could move off him and keep Juju, and I'd draft a running back. Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence is clearly the top quarterback in this year's draft. Well, at least according to us, he is. There's a lot of talks about Zach Wilson being better than him, but he was also considered one of the best in recent memory. Mel Kiper has been a draft analyst for decades, and he put Lawrence as one of the highest graded quarterback prospects he's ever evaluated. He ranked Lawrence fourth, only behind John Elway, Andrew Luck, and Peyton Manning. What stuck out to me in this list is the amount of Hall of Famers on this list. Elway, Peyton Manning, Jim Kelly, Troy Aikman. And then, obviously, Josh Allen in the top 10 as well. But Drew Bledsoe obviously had a very highly productive career as well. Won a Super Bowl.
Usually, I mean, listen, everybody wants to talk about sleepers. And by and large, you can tell.
We do this every year with the draft. And I don't know why we haven't caught on to the fact that we do this. And by we, I don't mean me, because I'm not doing this. Trevor Lawrence is the best quarterback prospect in the draft, period. I don't know how we even landed in the conversation of, like, no, he could be better or as good as. Like, no, he's not. We saw him with a very productive team be productive and get better every single year and win in giant moments. Like, what are we talking about here?
Right.
What happens is we cover this for so long.
That's right.
And we have to spend so much time filling content that we start evaluating, and then it starts to kind of spiral into, like, well, maybe he's not as, you know, we want to make it a little interesting with Trevor Lawrence.
We did this with Zion, and we keep forgetting. These are 20-year-old kids. Well, you know, Zion's jump shot, he went to class at Duke. You can practice like 17 hours a week. He's not in a gym all day at Duke. It's not the way it works. Like, when I look at NBA prospects, nobody now comes out of college ready to dominate. It's like that's 80s, 90s. Do you have the raw tools? And do I like you as a kid? Like, Zion was like, oh, that kid loves basketball.
And what is dominate? Why? I feel like because we live in such a microwave society, we expect things to happen immediately at the highest level. And then we judge these outliers and make them the norm. These are still very young men who are still learning the game and then are going to adjust to the speed of the game, accelerating. And instead of going up against other young men, they're now going up against grown men with grown men bodies, like, who have wear and tear and calluses that they don't know anything about yet. Just calm down with the evaluation. Trevor Lawrence is the best prospect in this draft. It is clear. There's no need to overanalyze the situation. We'll just take him out and then start analyzing from there. It's just nonsense.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line
All-Star
News.
Game last night. I'm going to hand out my mid-season NBA awards. That's coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good to have you in. Halfway through the NBA season, All-Star game this weekend. Yesterday was the All-Star game. I'm going to hand out my mid-season NBA awards. Joy, let's go. Let's hand them out. Let's make some kids very, very happy.
Okay. Best face in a new place. LaMelo Ball, James Harden, Chris Paul, or Doc Rivers?
Not an easy choice. All done a really good job, but I'm going to go with 35-year-old Chris Paul, back-to-back All-Star at 35. This is what a winning player does. With the Hornets, Clippers, Rockets, Thunder, and now Suns, each team has increased their winning percentage when he arrived. Phoenix has not made the playoffs in 11 years. In fact, they've been bad. The only time for a moment we liked him was in the bubble last year, which is a weird year. Now they have one of the top records, second best record in the NBA. Classic Chris Paul.
Most exciting player, Steph Curry, LeBron James, Damian Lillard, or Zion Williamson?
Again, tough choice. I like new stuff. Zion Williamson. 19 points a game in the paint. Leads the NBA. Just to think how young he is. He has 20-plus points on 50% shooting in 14 straight games. History of the league. Nobody's ever done that. And his game is so different than everybody else. We are scratching the surface on Zion.
Best player not named LeBron. Giannis Antetokounmpo, Steph Curry, Joel Embiid, James Harden.
Went back and forth, but it is a three-ball shooting league, and I'll say Steph Curry. Okay, Steph Curry right now leads the NBA with 169 made three-pointers. That is the league's future. He's averaged a fourth leading scorer, and he doesn't have Klay Thompson. He's got some disparate parts he's making work. and they're very close to being a playoff team.
Net who will cause the most friction? Kevin Durant, Blake Griffin, James Harden, or Kyrie Irving?
Kevin Durant's pretty chill. Blake Griffin's lucky to be there. James Harden is just happy he's not in Houston. So if you're giving me the choice, I'd say Kyrie Irving, who's already missed 11 games. He had that little COVID party thing that where he didn't wear a mask, wasn't very good. Took kind of a hiatus in January. So given the choice, I think James Harden and Blake Griffin are just so happy to be there.
Player you want to see traded? Bradley Beal, Kyrie Irving, Ben Simmons, Nikola Vucevic.
Well, I've been on this forever. Bradley Beal leads the NBA in scoring. Washington's never gotten past the second round. He has this strange loyalty to the Wizards. I know LeBron loves him. I've been told that by LeBron's camp. They've been eyeing him for years. I'm not sure why people don't make a run. He is expensive, but I just feel he's such a he's got a very consistent personality. He scores 40 points a lot. The problem is when he does, they've lost 11 straight because he got nobody else to balance him out.
The most surprising team: Jazz, Knicks, Nets, or Suns?
I got to give it to the Knicks. I mean, Julius Randle's a very solid player. R.J. Barrett, you loved him out of college, very talented. But I thought the whole Tom Thibodeau doing gassers, you know, like, I'm like, that isn't going to work. And right now they're above 500. They play very well together. I do wonder, minutes-wise, you know, he'll push. He's like Pat Riley 30 years ago. He'll push guys. But the Knicks are interesting, and that's good for the NBA.
It is. Future face of the NBA: Giannis, LaMelo, Luka, or Zion?
I'm going to go Zion. I want to read you a stat. The only player to score more points than Zion Williamson through his first 58 NBA games in the three-point era: Michael Jordan. And he's got a Michael Jordan buzz about him. The look, the likability, the intensity, the passion. There are just a lot of qualities here. He's a marketing person's fantasy, loves the game, kind of plays different. Like, physically, Michael was doing stuff, jumping from the free throw line. We hadn't seen since, like, Dr. J. Zion is like Barkley, but I think stronger.
The sleeping giant: Celtics, Heat, Mavericks, or Warriors?
I'm going to go Mavs. They've won 8 of their last 10. Now, Porzingis got hurt early, so they weren't very good early. They also had a COVID outbreak. So I think they're a pretty interesting team. Luka feels like 30 a night. Won 10 of 13 heading into the All-Star break. They've got to become a better defensive team, but they're playing really well right now.
Biggest pretender: 76ers, Jazz, Knicks, or Spurs?
Spurs don't have a player averaging more than 20 a game. That's problematic in the playoffs. And it was about a week ago or 2 weeks ago, I looked up the top 100 three-point shooters in the NBA. They had Patty Mills and one other player. But analytically, they feel behind other teams, and I don't buy you can win it with a bunch of guys scoring 14.
Most underappreciated: Steph Curry, LeBron James, Damian Lillard, or Chris Paul?
We don't need to go into it. I think Steph Curry is laughably underappreciated. We just hadn't seen him do anything on a big scale in 2 years, and he pretty much took over the All-Star game. It's what he does.
Lakers' biggest West challenger: Clippers, Jazz, Suns, or Blazers?
I would say Clippers, because they have good wing defenders in Paul George and Kawhi. And those guys have missed. Let me look it up. Paul's missed 11 games, Kawhi 8, and they're still the 4 seed. I don't think their bench is as good as last year. But I do think the second year together probably be better than the first. Again, I think Utah's good, but they have a hole. They don't have a wing. Joe Ingles, they don't have a wing defender to guard LeBron. And I think you put, you know, if LeBron plays 36 minutes in a playoff game, and I can put Kawhi on him for 20 and Paul George on him for 16 to 18, you can make his life a little more difficult.
Player you want taking the last shot: Steph Curry, Damian Lillard, LeBron James, or Zion Williamson?
Now, this is close, actually, because I think Damian Lillard is got a confidence about him. Damian's really good. But I'm on a Steph Curry bandwagon today. So he leads the NBA with 4.8 made three-pointers a game. He's shooting 48% from three in clutch time this season. I've said before in the show, Dame and Steph Curry are the two best last shot of the game guy. You know, it's funny. And they went to Davidson and Weber State. And then I was watching this yesterday. The All-Stars. Giannis, Luka, Abroad, Davidson, LeBron's high school.
There's a
lot of different routes. Paul George went to Fresno State. Kawhi went to San Diego State. And not a lot of Duke guys. I mean, really, it's funny. It's we say this about quarterbacks in the NFL. Look at all these all-stars and look at all the places they come from.
There's something to being overlooked and having to overcome some stuff.
A little chip on your shoulder. Damian Weber State, Steph Curry, Davidson, LeBron High School, Zion to Duker for 1 year. Well, all right, good stuff. Speak for Yourself is around the corner. Good to have Joy Taylor back on the show today. And here we go. Keep your eye on the NFL stuff.